Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
I love the fact that the Denver Broncos have essentially admitted we need a DeMarcus Ware to help our manage our pass rushers. We need that knowledge. We need that expertise. We need that nuance to be coached to our players so they can benefit from the knowledge of a guy like DeMarcus Ware. And that to me is, again, another signal that this Broncos team understands where it failed, where it has failed, and they're pointing to those failures and saying, we're going to rectify those things. There are a lot of coaching staffs that have too big an ego to let a guy that has that much knowledge come in and circumvent the authority of the other coaches. Not the Denver Broncos. They're like, we're going to do whatever we need to do to make this team right, to make this team better. And I tell you this, Von Miller, he needs a DeMarcus Ware. He needs a guy to hold him accountable. He needs a guy that he'll listen to when he says, hey, man, you can't jump off sides in this critical series. If you do, I'm going to put my foot up your can. That's what they need. And so this is another, we've talked about it, good, solid free agent pickups. Don't overspend on guys who no longer can play. Make sure you have that done. Go after team captains in the draft. Acknowledge that you've gone after athletes, but you haven't gone after the great football players. We're going to change that as well. And now bringing DeMarcus Ware onto your staff, that is excellent. That's a great decision, and he can't do anything but help not only Von Miller, but the likes of Shane Ray and Shaq Barrett and Bradley Chubb and Derek Wolfe. This is an exceptional move by the Denver Broncos, and I can't wait to see DeMarcus Ware get his whistle in his mouth.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Whistle in the mouth.
Did you have that going in, or did that just come to you on the fly?
Yeah, well, it just kind of came to me because I was like, wait a minute, he's coaching. What do coaches do? Boom, the whistle. Yeah.
Bradley Chubb already feeling the impact of DeMarcus Ware.
Just the fact that he knows the game inside and out. We watching film, he's seeing things that everybody else is like, what are you talking about? Nobody sees that. So, his presence is just calls like, hey, I'm a leader, listen to me, I know what I'm doing. And, when the guy has that much respect, you just want to follow him.
That's interesting. He said, he's pointing out things, everyone's like, well, wait, what are you talking about? And that's not just the rookies, that's not just the young guys, that's the veterans too.
Absolutely.
So, okay. And I'm with you, by the way. It's a great move. But I guess my question is, why don't we see more of this? Because if you've got players saying, whoa, I never saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what the heck are the coaches doing? What are the positional coaches doing?
Yeah. See, here's the issue.
And I'm not just, and by the way, I'm not dumping on Broncos assistant coaches. I'm talking about coaches around the NFL, because I'm sure that DeMarcus Ware could have gone to any team around the NFL and started doing what he was doing, and probably have the defensive linemen on those teams say, wow, he's pointing out things I'd never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that say about the kind of coaching in this league, that guys that have been doing it for years and years and years can't point these things out to the players, and DeMarcus Ware comes in here for 5 minutes and is already doing it?
We didn't have great eyes.
Right. Well, because that's a guy who has played so much football. You see things that even coaches don't see. You see the things just from playing. And I don't care how good a coach you are. There's things that you never, ever could understand unless you play. And that's not a knock. You know, it's like people that get mad at you for saying, well, dude, you never played. Oh, here we go. Ex-athlete. You never played. It's such a sorry, you know, you get that all the time, right? It's such a sorry excuse, and I can't believe you went there, and you should be better than that. Now, there are certain things that you will never know because you didn't play. As much as you would like to know, you will never know what it feels like. Just like I could sit there and watch Law and Order a billion times, doesn't mean I'm ready to try a case. There are things about trying a case that I'll never know by watching Law and Order. There's things I'll never know about teaching a grade school class because I've never done it. And until you do it, until you walk a mile in those shoes, you'll never know. And so that's the nuanced stuff that I constantly talk about. Here's the other thing that's amazing to me. And this, as much as anything else, is the reason the play has slipped to the point that it's slipped to. We can sit there and talk about national anthem and kneeling and all the crap we want to talk about. The bottom line is the product isn't very good, especially the first half of the season. And Mike, when you put everything on an iPad for players to take home, and you're just watching it as an individual and you're not watching it as a group, that's a detriment to your football team. And I say it all the time. 4 eyes are better than 2. 8 eyes are better than 4. You know, 16 eyes are better than 8.
We didn't have great eyes.
Got to have great eyes. And when you're in a setting like that together, it's amazing what you can see. No coach ever told me, hey, get the sideline copy and watch the get off of the football players. So as an offensive lineman or as a defensive lineman, you watch end zone copy. No coach ever told me to get sideline copy. I just started getting sideline copy because I wanted to see first guy off the ball. I wanted to see depth. Because when you start watching stunts, defensive linemen give away their stunts by the depth. One guy always will cheat up. They can't help themselves. They want to jump. So the penetrator usually cheats up on the line of scrimmage, and the looper gets back. You can't see that from end zone copy. But when you start watching the sideline copy, you're like, oh, here comes a stunt. You can see it. And when you're prepared like that, and all of a sudden you walk up the line of scrimmage, you break the huddle, walk up the line of scrimmage, and they're in it. You're like, here comes the tackle end, or here comes the end tackle. And you're calling it out. But that's the thing, that having multiple people in a room watching it together, really studying it, not just watching it. When you take it home on an iPad, oftentimes you're just watching. You're not studying as much as you're watching. And just as another benefit to having DeMarcus Ware in your building.
Hey, coming up tomorrow, Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club, another one. Love these Fridays where we get together at a Sam's Number 3. This time it's going to be downtown at 15th and Curtis. So the show there, 6 to 9. Come on by, watch the show. Get yourself some Broncos merchandise, Broncos memorabilia signed by Stink. Grab a handheld breakfast burrito and hang out with us on a Friday as we get you set for the weekend.
You got a stack of napkins?
Got napkins ready to go,
to
sign.
Nice.
So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Bill Musgrave endorsing my boring is better offense. I think he did.
Did he read the article?
I think he did. I think he read my column.
Your blog?
Not a blog. Don't you dare call that a blog.
It's a blogger.
It's a column. I'm a columnist, not a blogger. That's coming up next. So while you were away, Troy Rank was sitting in.
Yes.
And we started talking about the idea of what this Broncos offense should look like,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of numbers that you want from Case Keenum when it's all said and done, right?
Right.
And the thing we kind of stumbled across is that this is a league in which quarterbacks aren't throwing touchdowns like they used to. Over the last 2 years, there have been 8 quarterbacks who have thrown more than 30 touchdowns in a season. That's it.
Really?
5 2 years ago, only 3 last year. Meanwhile, what we've seen is that interceptions are going down dramatically, to the point where when you look at the top 10, top 12 quarterbacks in the league, they're all basically 12, 11 interceptions or less for the entire season.
Right.
So there seems to be more of a sense of risk aversion rather than gamble taking at the quarterback position and on offense. Do you see that?
Well, I think it's part of the way you run your offense. So from a risk aversion standpoint, how many, and this is where the spread has really infiltrated into the National Football League. There's so many throws that are all shallow cross, you know, drag out of the backfield, you know, essentially on the line of scrimmage throws, where you're throwing a swing pass, you're throwing a fullback drag, you're throwing a tight end, you know, a tight end drag across the formation. You're throwing a shallow cross, quick outs, stick routes. You know, you're so many things are inside 5 yards. You know, smoke screens, bubble screens, quick slants, what they call lookies. So, and especially with the RPO the RPO style of football, where, you know, you've got a run called and you've got a receiver on the backside of that run who is essentially uncovered. You know, got a DB that's not impressed, that's off him. Well, you can take that and create an RPO off of it. So you fake the handoff and you just flip it over to the guy and he's completely uncovered and it's an automatic 6 yard gain. And so there's risk aversion, but it comes from the way they call, they're calling football plays. Like that's why the sack totals are so impressive when you get a double digit sack guy. Yep. Because your legitimate opportunity to truly rush a passer has been diminished, exponentially. There's so few 7-step drops. And if you're throwing it 30 times, come on, 15 times or the ball's going to be out of your hand in 1.2 seconds.
What about the idea of finding that balance between being efficient, taking risks? Bill Musgrave talked about that.
Well, we want to find that balance for sure, because we don't want to go up to the plate and just bunt, so we don't strike out. We want to have some explosives. We need those chunks. The more chunks you have, the fewer third downs you have to convert. So at the same time, we want to train our quarterbacks to make good decisions. Joe Gibbs used to say when I coached for him, a good quarterback knows what to do when it's there. A great quarterback knows what to do when it's not there. And that's part of this spring. They're really all the OTAs and minicamps are, we're all out here as a team, but it's really for the quarterback to train him on what to do when it's not there. So we can train these guys and not throw those interceptions like you alluded to.
I don't think I'm watching offenses that are trying to bunt. But I do see offenses more and more around the NFL that are more interested in hitting singles and doubles than trying to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is if we can keep hitting singles and doubles and we keep that up, eventually one of those singles or doubles becomes a home run.
Right.
Because you get antsy as a defense. A lot of that is what happened, in my mind, to the Broncos defense last year. You look at them going, hey, we know we need to make plays. We know we need to get turnovers. We know we need to do these things. So let's gamble on a couple of things. Can we gamble on this? Can we gamble on that? And far too often you gamble like that against a good team that knows how to execute, be it the Eagles, be it the, you know, the Chiefs, be it the, Patriots. You're going to end up giving up a lot of points. And that's what ends up happening to you. So if you can be consistent, I mean, you would go back to those 90 teams that won back-to-back championships. What did we do? We ran the snot out of the ball, right? We beat you up physically. Two things happened. One, you started having nose-up safeties and play man coverage, and then we hit you over the top with a sluggo, with slant and go, right? And then all of a sudden, we just keep pounding, and all of a sudden, you know, you'd be in a situation where you got everybody up and we pop one and next thing you know, it's a 60 yard run because you got everybody within a 7 yard, you know, within a 7 yard window of the line of scrimmage. Like it's your consistency and it's your boring strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If you can continue and you can move the chains and you can execute in those things, eventually what happens is those defenses get tired of playing that way. There's nothing more demoralizing for a defense than 4 yards, 6 yards, 2 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards, 6 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards, mm-hmm. 4 yards. Eventually they get frustrated.
Yep.
And now they start making mistakes.
That's why boring is better for this Broncos offense. And it starts, Bill Musgrave says, with getting the ball out quickly.
Yeah, that's our style, I think. That's gotta be our style. We don't want to have negative plays, either in the run game or pass game. So let's get the ball out of our hand, let our playmakers do what they do best, not demand too much of pass protection, especially against the defenders of a modern NFL team. These guys are tough to block. At times they're unblockable. So we need to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand as quickly as possible.
Get rid of the ball quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Short passes. Accurate passes. Have a quarterback that can read the defense properly and make good decisions. You know, for those who say, I don't want that. That's what I've watched the last couple of years, boring offenses. No. You have not watched a boring offense the last couple of years.
Right.
You've watched a dysfunctional, mistake-prone offense. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's a big difference between being a boring/efficient offense and being one that lacks identity, is dysfunctional, lacks talent, and is mistake-prone.
It lacks, you know what, most of all, it lacks, you missed the one key factor. It lacks an identity. Or did you say that?
I did say that.
You did say identity?
Yes. Come on.
Nobody really heard you say
Come
it, though.
Come on.
They heard me say it. So I said it with authority. Mm. You said it kind of like it a little weaselly. Like, lacks identity.
No. No, well, I did not say it like that.
You didn't?
No.
I said it actually
very assertive. I go, please, it's not a boring offense. It's a dysfunctional offense. It's an offense that lacks an identity. It's an offense that is mistake prone. No. I said it with great conviction.
You did. I don't know why I didn't hear it. Maybe it's just because I didn't want to hear it.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
It's a true statement. Never a truer statement's been made.
Write it down.
But yeah, I think the biggest factor there, okay, I'll give you credit. The biggest factor that you said is a lack of identity. You're trying to figure out who you are, what you are. At least this point, and this is the big point, is that they've established their quarterback. There is no, you know, there's no competition between, you know, guys who are still trying to learn how to play the game. You've got a guy. He's your dude. That's the direction you're going in. That's great. You've got that identity. Now let's formulate what our offense is going to be. This is what it's going to be. Let's get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly. Let's give our guys a chance, our playmakers a chance to catch the ball and run with it after the catch. And let's make sure that we do that efficiently so that we can set up a couple of play actions, so that we can set up the sluggo, so that we can set up the big play over the top. That's what we're going to be.
Hey, yeah, we know the Broncos love their slogans. They love the stuff they can put on t-shirts and hoodies, and I'm telling you, boring is better. What do you think, fans?
Good.
Yeah, okay.
Boring is better.
Four down territory coming your way. Shaq Barrett. Lot being expected from Shaq. Is he ready to step up and fulfill those expectations? That's coming up. Four down territory next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
He's a great coach. I mean, Von, while he was walking up the field, Von was like, you were called for this. This is your calling. Stuff like that, just playing around with him. But he's a real good coach. He breaks it down so you can understand it. And some coaches might say one thing that you don't really understand, but he played the game, so he knows how to bring it across to people.
Boy, the players, Bradley Chubb right there, raving about the idea of DeMarcus Ware serving as a part-time coach for them. In what specific ways will DeMarcus Ware impact Bradley Chubb as a rookie?
I think the biggest thing that he will have, the impact that he will have, is teaching a young guy actually how to study, how to set up an opponent, how to get to your best move. I think the other thing that young players struggle with, Mike, is they've usually been able to physically dominate their opponent in college. Well, you're going to play against full-grown men. You're not just going to physically dominate a guy here. So how to set up your moves, how to set up your go-to move and have a great counter off that go-to move, when to use it, and how to have it in mind. Like, the great ones always have their counter built in. If I get to here and the guy does this, this is my counter, and like, they just know, and it becomes a feel thing for them, but they have somewhat of a plan in their mind. I think it's the knowledge of the game, the understanding of the game, and essentially exposing him to what teams are trying to do to him and how he can counter those things. That's what I think the biggest benefit's gonna be.
Next on four down territory.
Second down.
Well, he's a winner, number one. He approaches every day the same way, professional, very much into it. And I think the guys have really rallied around him, both on offense and defense, just because he's the same guy every day. He's consistent and definitely cares about his teammates.
There's Bill Musgrave talking about Case Keenum. You know Bill Musgrave pretty well. What is it about Musgrave's demeanor that you think could really match, mix well with Keenum?
Well, I think the one thing about Bill is that, you know, he's a really good coach. Obviously, he understands what he's trying to accomplish. I know Bill will put Case Keenum in comfortable situations. Here is, you know, what we're going to ask you to do. We're not going to ask you to do something you can't do, which is a big issue in this league with a lot of coaches. You know, they are so stuck on their system and what they want to do that they put you in positions to where you can't be successful. That's not Bill. But I think the biggest thing about Bill is this game has got to be fun. And there's a lot of coaches who have never played that don't understand that. I used to have this conversation with Shanahan all the time. Dude, ultimately, it's hard. Playing is hard. You gotta study, you gotta prepare, you gotta beat yourself to a pulp. It's hard. We have to have fun. And Billy Moose, you don't hear it in his dry comments there. He's one of the funniest dudes I've ever been around. You wanna talk about a complete and total jokester, prankster? He's hilarious, and he will keep some levity in that room. And I think it's a tremendous asset to have in any meeting room.
Is he, does he have the kind of personality, the kind of demeanor, the kind of outlook when it comes to calling offensive football that maybe goes along with the way the NFL is right now, that it's more about risk aversion than it is, taking gambles? It's the Joel Klatt line that he shares with us all the time when he talks about his days with Gary Barnett. You never go broke making a profit.
Right.
Does he have that? Whereas Mike McCoy clearly was trying to make the splash. He was trying to hit home runs with personnel that he couldn't. But do you get the sense this is a guy that can easily just say, hey, I'm prepared to
absolutely.
Be cool, be mellow, be conservative?
Billy understands that, you know, when home runs happen, after you do the little thing well.
Yep.
You do all the little things well, you run the ball exceptionally well, you adhere to the number of attempts you're going to have. You throw it underneath. You throw it with timing. You throw it with accuracy. You set those things up. Eventually, the big things happen. But you got to do the little things well first. And when you do the little things well, that's when you get those chunk yardage plays that he was talking about.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Having back out here helping in the line of pass rush moves from him, because we practiced with him for, 2 years, and I'm still learning from him. He's still got a lot of knowledge to give, and I'm just trying to soak it all in.
Shaq Barrett, yet another defensive player, raving about the presence of DeMarcus Ware. Let's talk about Shaq Barrett, because especially now with Shane Ray going down and Shane Ray apparently not being part of the Broncos' long-term future, there's always been a sense that Shaquille Barrett is ready to do more, and that this is somebody that the Broncos view is very valuable. Now, 3 years, he's never really had a chance to get that full-time look. He's had 11 sacks over 3 years, averages about, you know, probably averages about 40 tackles a year. There's a lot of, you know, really a lot of hype that surrounds this guy. Do you believe, if given the chance to be an every-down type player, that he can match that?
Right. Now, you'll never know until you know. You'll never know until he's given the opportunity. But here's the thing. He profiles that way. He profiles that if he had more of an opportunity, he would have more of an impact. And that's why multiple teams have contacted the Broncos, and he's been part of trade talks multiple times. He's a guy they want to throw into the package. So, hey, you want to come get a left tackle like Joe Thomas? Sure. We need a first rounder in Shaq Barrett or whatever, you know, whatever the, I don't know exactly what it was. Just kind of made that up. But Shaq Barrett was one of those guys that they wanted. And so he's been part of multiple talks, when it comes to trade value. So a lot of teams focus on him and look at him and say, man, if that guy just had an opportunity to play, we think he could be a playmaker.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Yeah, you know, I think I've handled this the right way. You know, I've been in the building working out, you know, seeing these guys as much as possible in communication. So, you know, like I said, hope we can get it done, but I think I've handled it the right way.
So for all the people who said the Broncos would be dumb to take Quentin Nelson, a guard, at number five.
Mm-hmm.
You don't draft guards
right
at number five.
Yeah, but Indianapolis taking him at six is okay.
Right. So stupid. Zach Martin just got paid. The Cowboys' four-time Pro Bowl guard got a six-year, $84 million contract, $40 million guaranteed. Prior to that, the richest contract given to a guard was 5 years, 66 for Andrew Norwell with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is this just yet another indication that we got to look at guards differently, especially when guys like Quentin Nelson come out in the draft and are viewed as can't miss?
The value. You almost had a $100 million guard. It's almost a $100 million guard. $40 million completely guaranteed. It just goes to show you still, especially in today's game, that offensive line is a backbone of an organization. And if you can't block guys, and here's the other thing. Man, there's so much speed on the outside, Mike, that if you don't have somebody that can stud up in the middle, you got to have that middle protected so the quarterback can step up off of that speed. That's why they're paying those guys. Those guys are going to be in one-on-one situations in the spread game, five guys rushing, five one-on-ones. You're trying to create it, and you got to have guys that can basically stymie defenders on the line of scrimmage. So the quarterback has an escape route off the speed that's coming off the edge. Think about it. You know, you got Ingram and Bosa. You got everybody has, look at Denver here, Chubb. You know, you just talked about Shaq Barrett. You got Vaughn Miller coming off the edge. I mean, the edge rushing in this league is ridiculous. Khalil Mack and Irvin in Oakland. It's ridiculous. So you got to have guys in the middle that can basically stymie the line of scrimmage.
Hmm. Ben, I need one Chubb.
Chubb.
Those two.
I need. There you go. Thank you. One Chubb only. There you go. That'll do it for 4Down Territory, a tour around the NFL bridge each and every morning at 7:30. Hey, coming up tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Club out on the road again, and another Sam's Number 3, this one downtown, 15th and Curtis. Grab a handheld breakfast burrito, hang out with the guys, get yourself an autograph or two, and yeah, just hang out. It's a great time. We love doing these Schlereth and Evans Breakfast Clubs at all the different Sam's Number 3's, great people, great listeners come out, so we can't wait to do it again tomorrow. Sam's Number 3, downtown, 15th and Curtis. Coming up, proof that Vance Joseph is a different coach this year. That's next. Looking for signs that Vance Joseph is a different coach, that the lessons, the painful lessons from last year have been learned. Here's, I think, an example of a different Vance Joseph, a different sounding Vance Joseph, saying and doing things that he wouldn't have done a year ago. When he was asked about the status of Carlos Henderson, the third round pick from a year ago, who was just a complete no-show in his rookie year, and now can't get on the field because of a bulky hamstring. Here's what Vance had to say.
He's got a hamstring. It started in phase two and hadn't gotten better. So he's got to get back on the field if he wants to make this football team.
Hmm. Shades of the old Bill Parcells line. Can't make the club from the tub.
No, you can't.
But very blunt, really, right? Hey, look, dude, enough's enough. Get on the field. Like, he's basically, you know, challenging him that, I mean, this wasn't Bill Parcells when asked about it. Remember Terry Glenn, the receiver out of Ohio State? I think it was Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. He was missing training camp practices with a hamstring. He'd been out for a while. And he was asked about the status of Terry Glenn. He said, oh, she's doing better.
Yeah.
Now, this was back in 92 or something like that. So good luck trying to say that now. But you get the point. Now, this wasn't like that, but it was still, it was still something that you would not have heard from Vance Joseph a year ago. Does that signal a certain amount of growth? A different Vance?
I don't think there's any question that is growth from a coach who also understands we've upgraded our roster significantly. So here's the deal. If you can't produce at this point, you're not going to be around. and you better understand it. And the fact that, you know, he would come out and say it publicly, I think is a good thing. Sometimes you've got to get your message across to your players. And sometimes you do it privately and they don't seem to respond. So sometimes it needs to be, there's certain things that you just need to be blunt. And it's not just a message to Carlos Henderson, it's a message to everybody. Guys, we've upgraded our roster. We're not, hey, we're not sitting here going, well, we're going to let, you know, we're going to let our veteran quarterback who we signed groom our young quarterback. And this is a 3-year process. And this is, we're the Denver Broncos. We expect to win. We've upgraded. We've addressed our issues. And here we go. I'll tell you the other thing, Mike, that resonates with me when it comes to Vance Joseph growing in his role. We always expect players to grow up. We expect Isaiah McKenzie to be better this year and not drop the ball. We expect players to mature. Coaches have to go through that same kind of cycle, that maturation process. And so the fact that you can accept a former player into your system that you didn't coach. Vance Joseph isn't tied to DeMarcus Ware. He wasn't here when DeMarcus Ware was helping them win a Super Bowl. And the fact that this guy retired after the 2016 season and you came in 2017, so you didn't coach him. You know he's a Hall of Famer. You know he's got great understanding and great knowledge, that you don't have an ego and that you aren't worried about him circumventing the authority of your coaches, and you're saying this guy will help make us better from a pass rushing standpoint, and we also feel like he'll help, you know, continue to keep Von Miller on track and help a young pass rusher in Bradley Chubb. Yeah, we want him around as much as possible. And if we got to sign a contract to have him around as a mentor and as a quote unquote consultant, we'll do it.
You think this was his move? Cause look, the more that we move on from last year, the more it's clear that he was not empowered to pick his assistants. These were John Elway recommendations that he took. And as a first year coach, he, like, who am I to turn down Mike McCoy? Who am I to, you know, say, hey, we need to move on from Eric Studisville and get a fresh look here at the running back position when it comes to running back coach? So it seems like he was more empowered with this year's staff.
Mm-hmm.
Does this strike you as a Vance Joseph move with DeMarcus Ware, or one that comes from on top? Now, here's what VJ had to say about having DeMarcus Ware on board.
It's good for us. You know, obviously he's a guy who can teach pass rush. He's going to be our pass rush consultant. He's going to be in here a couple times a week, hopefully for home games also. But it's good to have DeMarcus, because he was with Von and Shane and Shaq and those guys. They have great respect for him. Watching him teach pass rush is a special moment. I mean, he has so much knowledge about pass rush, not just with those guys, but also with Wolf and Peck on the inside guys. So it's a good piece to have, you know, as part of our staff.
He's referencing all guys that, including DeMarcus, that, you know, he wasn't here when that whole phenomenon was felt.
Right.
And the presence of DeMarcus Ware was felt. You know who was here? Gary Kubiak.
Mm-hmm.
Is this yet another example of the reach and the influence that Gary Kubiak is wielding from behind the scenes?
Yeah, it could be. And You would be dumb if you didn't look at it and accept it and say, yes, he can help us. DeMarcus Ware, though, wasn't just a pass rush specialist. DeMarcus Ware is a complete football player. DeMarcus Ware set the edge, even though he's a smaller guy. You know, he's 6'4", but he was 260-ish. But he was just a great football player. And so he can help you, just the knowledge of hands and placement and understanding stances and formations and what you're going to get, what's coming at you. He'll be a lot more. Guys will lean on him a lot more for just pass rush specialists. And that's what they've hired him as a consultant. But he can give you a ton of just knowledge of the game he can impart on players. And whether it's Kubiak, Vance probably has to sign off on it as the head coach. And the fact that you can recognize the value of a DeMarcus Ware and you can sign off on that, that's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Instead of looking at this as a coach that isn't empowered, look at it more as a coach who is confident enough in his own skin to say, absolutely.
Right.
Let's bring a guy like this in here. Knowing that he's going to be a big deal, he's going to get a lot of attention, and he's going to be the story at least for a while.
And you've got to have a coach that coaches your D-line that has got enough confidence and enough credibility and has done enough great things in this league to be able to say, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, let's bring him in. I'd love to work with him. He'll help. And Bill Kolar is that guy. Like, Bill Kolar is legendary in this league. There are some, like, whoever. On this offensive line with two new kind of collegiate coaches, like, do you think that would mesh well? Like, you have to have the right coach in place as well.
Are you thinking of yourself?
No.
That if you came in there as a consultant?
No. Let's say Gary Zimmerman comes in as a consultant.
Okay.
You know? But it would be somebody more recent, the guy's played with, somebody that's a really outstanding, was an outstanding student of the game and really knew it and was kind of a Hall of Famer, which, here recently we just haven't had.
Like a Ryan Clady sort. Not a Hall of Famer, but very good player.
He's a good player, yeah.
A little bit more modern, right?
Yeah.
But here's Bradley Chubb talking about the impact, and I want you to listen closely because I want to get into this. Here's Bradley Chubb talking about the impact of a guy like DeMarcus Ware.
Just the fact that he knows the game inside and out. We watching film, he's seeing things that everybody else is like, well, what are you talking about? Nobody sees that. So, his presence is just calls like, hey, I'm a leader. Listen to me. I know what I'm doing. And, when the guy had that much respect, you just want to follow him.
What are you talking about? I'd never seen that before.
Right.
There's
another one. You have another Bradley Chubb where he basically says not in the coaches or like, cause he's played before. Do you have that one, Ben?
I feel like I've made a lot of progress, but I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I feel like that I have a lot of work on. I'm going to talk with my coach today, see what he wants me to do for coming up in camp and for the rest of the offseason. So I'm looking forward to finding that out and just coming back in camp and going with a full head of steam.
Yeah, you whiffed on that one, dude.
There was another one where he basically said, it doesn't matter.
I've been doing it my whole career, being a captain on this team for 3 years, and now being able to come back and do the same thing and have a lot more time to do it and not having to go out there to perform now, you get to see the other guys do it.
My point is that...
None of those were what I was looking for, by the way. We're over.
Okay.
I was over on
those. Listen, third time's the charm. I feel it.
Okay, go.
I think this is the one.
Okay, all right.
I feel like it's just different perspectives. I mean, a coach sees it from the outside in, the player just knows, like, what things. So the coach might see something that the player didn't see. You know what I'm saying? So it's just two different perspectives, and you just got to take both on.
Yes?
No, that didn't feel like the one I thought I heard earlier anyhow.
Maybe you didn't hear it. Or maybe you heard it. Like, you hear a lot of things inside your head that nobody else hears.
Maybe I was talking to myself
right
during a break, and I heard something special, and I was like, ooh, that's good. That's really, really good. And I was like, see?
I
was right.
Sometimes I think you just kind of walk along with your very own soundtrack in your head.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. It's a really good point. Oftentimes... I'm walking through the airport, like heading to a flight, and I am literally talking out loud to myself just about, like, whatever. And I'm like, I'm carrying on a conversation with myself. Like, legitimately, and then I'll catch myself carrying a conversation with myself. Yeah, I'm like telling a joke. It's like I'm doing a radio interview. I'm doing a radio interview with myself, going down the walking escalator at DIA, you know, just kind of.
Do you do like
in
knock,
my own little?
Do you
world.
Do knock knock jokes with yourself? Knock knock, Mark. Who's there?
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? anyhow,
hey, my point I'm getting back. The point I'm getting back to. The point I'm getting back to. I, it's not a great look for Bill Kolar and the other defensive coaches when DeMarcus Ware has been here 5 minutes and already you got players going, wow, he's pointing out things I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I get it. On one hand, it is, it's great. You know, right. I mean, just a valuable resource. But on the other hand, I think it speaks a lot to the idea that who exactly are these coaches, right. And what are they coaching in the NFL?
Maybe it was.
And are they equipped to really, you know, develop these guys the way they need to be developed?
Maybe it was Shaq Barrett sound that I was looking for. But to your point, to your point, I think that a lot of times you see things as a player, you see them differently. And you relate to players differently. Somebody in some sound somewhere said about DeMarcus Ware that, you know, he points out things that the other guys don't point out, and he's played before. So because he's played before, he's got more credibility. And that resonates with people.
I think we have it. I think.
Sam techniques is crazy. It's like, he's so technical out there. So it's hard to get, it's going to be a work in progress because you just got to practice it and practice it and practice it and get live reps out there because it's real technical. You got to like know your tackle, know what he's going to do and just be prepared for it. So it's the hand techniques, yeah, that's going to help me out a lot.
No, that's not
an idiot. No.
Come on, Ben. Jeez, millennial Ben.
Such a child.